Let's just open in a quick prayer. Dear Lord, I just come before you right now, humbled to be in this position. I just ask that the words that you've put on my heart, I would communicate clearly, that I could share this vision that you've given to me and my family, that you would encourage the people of this church and that you would challenge them through the message that you put on my heart. In Jesus' name. All right. It's been a while since I've been up here, so I'm a little uncomfortable. So if I fidget a little bit, just, you know, forgive me. And one little thing I just wanted to clear up. When I first moved out to New England, it was about 2005. The real reason I moved out here is my football team, the Buffalo Bills, were terrible for years at that point. And so I said, the Patriots, they've won a couple Super Bowls. I think it's time to move to, you know, greener pastures and go out to New England where, you know, they've got a good team. And I've still quietly been a Buffalo Bills fan here, but I'm like, I don't really want to be around them. So I moved out to New England and, you know, basked in the glory of everyone enjoying their team. And then now, I don't know about those Patriots anymore, and the Buffalo Bills are starting to get a little bit better, so I think God was saying, it's time, Adam, it's time to move back to New York. Your team is going to be good again. You can enjoy some football and be around people who are like-minded. And we really were praying that the Dolphins would get better, because, you know, we were kind of hoping, you know, warmer weather, but
I wish your father was quietly.
Amen. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. Like I said, I come before you today just humbled. I really feel like this church has been such a blessing. And to be able to speak to you from this pulpit is a little intimidating because of what is usually coming out of this pulpit. And so I pray that God would use the words that I say to reach you guys in the same way that the words have reached me through, from this pulpit. I'm going to be sharing a little bit of my personal testimony today. I'm going to be sharing some Bible verses that you've all heard probably 100 times before, but I'm really praying that those verses will come alive to you in a new way, seeing how they've spoken to me. And I'm going to challenge you with this message to let them apply to you in the same way. The title I decided... Well, actually, what originally happened was Pastor Gene said, all right, so would you like to get up and speak? Would you like to talk about what you're doing? And I said, yeah, of course. I want to get everybody involved. I want people to know. And he said, all right, well, do you think you need a whole message or do you think you want to speak for just a couple of minutes? And I said, a couple of minutes is probably fine. You know, I don't know if I can put a whole message together. So I was like, yeah, you know, maybe 5 minutes. And then God spoke. And as I'm sitting there thinking about what to say, I've just kept writing and kept writing and kept writing. And I kept thinking about what God is doing in our lives. And people getting emotional on the stage already today has already put me in an emotional position. So if I break down a little bit, I do apologize for that as well. Because I'm going to be sharing with you my story. I'm going to share with you what God has brought me through and what I feel he's pointing me to in the future. And so as I looked at this message, I was like, and I was talking to Pastor Gene. I said, well, you know, we could talk about, you know, what God's doing and did in the past and what he's doing in the present and what we thought he could do in the future. And I said, all right, let's do that. And then I'm sitting there writing it. And then what really was pulling everything together was hearing God's voice. And so I titled this message, The Sound of His Voice. Now, I've never actually heard God's audible voice. I've never heard God say, Adam, you know, I'm calling you to New York. Not like the Moses with the burning bush, you know. I think that would have been easier. I think that would be way easier if I went, oh, burning bush. All right, I know what to do now. Or like if, you know, the time where Jesus went and got baptized and he's, you know, he's in the water and he's got the dove coming down and then God's voice comes out and says, this is my son. I feel like, man, like to hear God's voice like that, like how could you ever question? And then as I was thinking about it, I have the Holy Spirit inside of me. I'm hearing God's voice if I would just look for it. So like I said, I want to talk to you about the sound of God's voice. I read a quote from Rick Warren, who said, "We often miss hearing God's voice simply because we aren't paying attention." I have been paying attention through my past and the present and what God's doing in the future, I believe, with my life and my family's life. I've been paying really close attention. So like I said, I just want to share with you my testimony, my story, and I hope that it'll encourage you and I hope that it'll challenge you. So it all started as a little kid. And I promise I won't spend forever as a little kid. I know, right? Come on. And look at the hair. That's the thing. I look back and I go, yep, I did have it at one point. So as a little kid, I remember laying in bed at night. I mean, I couldn't have been much older than that, maybe a little bit older than that. And I just remember, and it's weird because I was a little kid, but I remember thinking about the universe. And I remember thinking about stars and space and how big it is and creation. And I remember just having these thoughts of, all right, so there's space and then there's what? Like there's this huge amount of like, you know, there's stars and planets and galaxies. And then what? Like what's after that? And I remember just contemplating these things as a little kid and being like, what is that where God is? Is that where heaven is? Is does space end and then all of a sudden there's heaven, there's God? Like I just remember these thoughts coming into my head. And it would keep me awake at night, honestly. I would sit there and think about it. I'd go, All right, so space and time and like it just everything would all come together as like kind of just this question. And later on in life, I found this verse in Ecclesiastes. I believe Solomon wrote these words. He said, "He put eternity into man's heart." And I think that curiosity about the universe was God speaking to me. God was opening my eyes as a young child to himself. He put all these things out into this grand creation for me to speak to me, to speak to you, and to show that he's there. And it was that like first little bits of like kind of getting the inkling that God was there and that there was something bigger. Also the verse, "For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them." This is Romans 1:19-20. "For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made, and they are without an excuse." And very early on, I realized that. I realized I was without an excuse. There had to be a God. This creation was amazing. And that was God speaking to me through that. God was speaking to me through his creation. And he, I believe, was teaching me through that, just questioning, to hear his voice. A little bit later, when I was just a little bit older, there you go. We lived in Hawaii. I know, tough life. We lived in Hawaii, and I remember always feeling an urge to pray at night. I remember feeling like this overwhelming need to talk to God. I didn't know a lot about him yet. I had kind of learned a little bit about him in Sunday school, but I just felt like I needed to pray to him. And I feel like that was an urging of the Holy Spirit. I believe God was, like I said, at a young age, teaching me to reach out to him and to listen to him. And I remember this one time in Hawaii, we had a lot of blackouts. And you guys remember the story. I talk about it all the time. I remember one night we had a blackout and I ran down the stairs and I said, "Mom, Dad, don't be afraid. If we pray, God will turn the lights right back on." And I remember my mom saying, "All right, go ahead, pray." So I said, "All right, God, can you please turn the lights on?" And boom, the lights turned right on. And that was God speaking. That was God speaking into a young kid's life and instilling this faith that, you know, you could talk to him, you could ask him. And I think about the verse in John 14. It says, "Ask anything in my name and I will do it." God was teaching me to hear his voice and to trust it. He was teaching me to listen to his instructions and to follow him. And I think back on that time and it fills me with faith to this day. I don't know if any of you guys have an experience like that where you just felt that immediate God answering that prayer. And I feel so like energized by it. Like I go, "Oh, God is there. God is doing things." And so like that brought in that instilled that even closer feeling of God speaking into my life. And at that point, it was really a childlike faith. I remember I was learning in Sunday school about God. I was learning about Jesus. And it was this childlike faith of, all right, I can believe in God. I can go to heaven. I'll be with him forever. God, you know, Jesus died for my sins. And that was good. You know, that was a good start for a young child who was learning to hear God's voice. But there wasn't, you know, it was a young faith. It was just a believing. And it was, like I said, it was just very simple. Then I got to be a little bit older, about 12 years old. We were living back in Sotus, New York at the time. This is in upstate New York. We were going to a church in the next town over. I was being homeschooled by my parents at the time. My mom was teaching me at home, and I believe that was another way God spoke to me. God was instilling a foundation in me through being homeschooled. All my classes were from the Bible. I was reading books about apologetics. I was digging into my faith, and I was learning more about what it meant to me to be a Christian. I feel like that was an amazing way that God spoke to me. And the sound of his voice was through my mother's voice and my father's voice at that time of, you know, bringing me up in God's word. And that makes me think of that verse in Proverbs 22, which, like I said, I'm sure you guys have all heard before. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. So, like I said, I'm about 12 years old. We had moved from Hawaii back to New York. I was in a new place, a new church, in a little town called East Williamson. We were being homeschooled. We were going to homeschool groups, and we used to meet in this building in Sotus. It was the old Sotus Bible Baptist Church on Mill Street. And I was hoping to find a picture for you. There's actually, I was looking for a lot of pictures, but we've got a lot of stuff packed away right now. So this old building, the Sotus Bible Baptist Church, we were meeting for homeschool groups there. And I'm guessing that's where I learned about a vacation Bible school that was being done there. I don't know if you remember that, but I remember one summer when I was about 12, I had met a really good friend in East Williamson, and I had invited him to come with me. His name was Jesse, and he's still a really good friend of mine today. And we went to this vacation Bible school. And I believe it was the week of my birthday, because I remember camping out in my front yard at the time. And I don't know, we just did fun stuff together, Jesse and I. But anyway, so we went to this vacation Bible school at the Bible Baptist Church in Sotus. And it was, you know, it was fun. We had a good time. We played a lot of games. And every night we had a speaker. And one night we had a speaker. His name was, now looking back, I remember. I didn't know it for a while, but now I remembered after talking to him, this guy named Don Stock. He gave the lesson at the end of the VBS, and he gave an altar call. And I remember God instilling on my heart and, like, pushing on me, like saying, raise your hand, come forward for this altar call. And I remember thinking, all right, I'm already a Christian. I don't know. Why do I need to raise my hand for this? I'm not, like, looking to meet Jesus again. I've met Jesus. But I feel like this was something new. This was God trying to reach me for something a little bit more. I think God was calling me to something more than belief. He was calling me to lay my life down and live my life for him. I believe he was calling me to not only just have him as my savior, but have him as my Lord and listen to him and lay down the things that I had planned for my life instead for his call. And that was, like I said, I was 12 years old, but I definitely felt that call for God to start changing things in me. It brought to life verses like James 1, 22 through 25. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he looks like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. And also Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And that was a change. That was something different. It wasn't a belief anymore. It was a lifestyle. It was something that I said, all right, I got to start looking for what God's doing. I got to start joining up with him and figuring out how to live this life in a way that glorifies him. And so I started listening. I started looking. I was getting involved with a youth group at the church we were going to. I started really listening to a lot of Christian music at that time. I started like worshiping in that way and you know, letting that be another way that God spoke to me through, you know, powerful Christian music. And I'll never forget one night. And this is another thing that just amazes me, like the lights. It's one of those things where it's like specific moments in my past that I see God just working a miracle. And I remember one night, I was probably a young teenager at this point, and I was listening, or I was feeling like I wasn't where I was supposed to be. I wasn't doing what God wanted me to do. I was feeling unsatisfied with my life. And I remember just kind of looking around and through my CDs. Do you guys remember CDs? You know, I had a big book full of CDs. And so I'd flip through them and, you know, DC Talk and Newsboys and Michael W. Smith and Keith Green. You know, I had just the variety of a lot of different kinds of music. And I remember finding this one CD by a singer named Jennifer Knapp. And she had a song called When Nothing Satisfies. And I said, oh, well, that's kind of cool. God's speaking to me in that way. Have you guys ever had that where you're looking for God to speak to you and suddenly he speaks to you and just what you need to hear? So I'm listening to this song and the song says, basically the point of the song is when nothing satisfies you, just hold my hand. And God is saying, you know, just be with me. When nothing satisfies you, just be with me. And I was like, man, that song is awesome. I'm like, thank you, God, for like speaking into my life like that. And so I started looking. Do you remember the little paper that was in the CD and it had all the words to the songs on it? So I'm flipping through because I wanted to really look at the words to the song. And I'm reading the words to the song. And all of a sudden I see in the beginning of the song a little inscription in this art. I've never met this artist. And it said, "For Adam." And I don't know. It was just this amazing experience of like, God, I don't know who this Adam was. I don't know if she had just a thought of, oh, you know, I need to give this song to Adam, or if there was another Adam. But either way, God works in very amazing ways. And I remember that night feeling God speaking to me so clearly. It was like just short of audible, you know, like, you know, sometimes you wish you had that Adam, I'm right here, but for me, it comes from the inside. You know, God is the Holy Spirit is speaking into my heart. So that was pretty amazing. So anyway, a little bit later on, I'm a teenager. I started working at McDonald's. I know it's hard to tell that I ever worked at McDonald's because, you know, how McDonald's food is so good for you that no, it's funny because I think when I started working there, I probably gained like 40 pounds. But when I worked there, I was all about God. I remember Pastor Gene talking about when he was younger and he was like, you couldn't hold him back. He was just preaching to the walls and, you know, anyone who would listen. And I was doing that. I was talking to the people at my work and I was like preaching to them. You know, I was on the line, you know, making burgers and making sausage sandwiches and talking to people about the Bible and about, you know, things that, you know, I was hoping that they would listen. And God would speak encouragement into my heart because this one guy, he went to the manager. He's like, guys, Adam's teaching me the Bible. And it was God speaking that encouragement to me. You know, another way that God spoke to me was through the unbelievers that I was talking to, getting excited about the things that I was telling them about. One other McDonald's story that I've told many times. So if you're in my youth group, you've heard this story. But it was just one of those other times where God spoke to me and just like a little miracle. So I don't know. Has anyone here worked in fast food before? All right. A few of you. You know those boxes of soda? Like they come in like a syrup and then it attaches to a tube and then that goes up to the soda fountain in the front. Well, I was a shift manager at this point. I was like 17 years old. And I was on shift that night. And I'm having a rough night. I'm like we have buses of kids coming in. We have crew members calling out sick. We've got, you know, this person needs change. This person needs this. This person needs that. I didn't get the right order to the person, so they want my head on a platter. You know, they, you know, I've got people yelling at me, I thought this was fast food. I heard that a lot. That's like people's go-to when the food isn't coming fast enough. But so I'm in the middle of this night from, you know, bad. And I'm running around and I'm doing all these things. And all of a sudden, one of the soda machines is not pouring out the brown. You know, it's just white. You know, it's just got water coming out. So obviously that means I need to go out and change out the box. So I'm running back and I go back and I'm doing the thing and I unscrew the thing and I throw it away and I'm not even like being careful at this point. I'm throwing it around. I don't care. Grab the box, put it in, and I twist the thing just wrong so that it's stuck sideways. And I'm telling you, I was in a rough place that night. I was calling this thing every name in the book. I'm kicking it. I'm smashing on it. And it won't go. Like when you hook it up right, it does this little like slurping noise and like a and it didn't happen. So I knew it wasn't on there. I didn't see it slurp the syrup into it. So I'm frustrated. I'm just, oh, come on. Oh. And finally I calmed down for a second and I remembered the night in Hawaii. I remembered that asking God for a miracle. And I said, and this sounds silly. I know it sounds silly. It's like a silly little thing, but it was huge in my life. And I sat there and I said, all right, God, I know you hear me. God, you know the night I'm having. God, could you please help me to fix this problem? And I reached for it and it unscrewed right away and I screwed it right back in and it worked perfectly. And it's like these little miracles that God was just encouraging me through. And like, I look back that, I mean, this happened 20 years ago and it's as clear as day today because of the powerful voice of God speaking to my heart. So anyway, moving forward, I, like I said, I was a teenager at that point. I was really involved in our youth group. I knew the Great Commission that said, go out to all the world and spread the gospel. I was preaching to the people at my work. And then with my youth group, I had a chance to go on missions trips. So we went to New York City and we preached to the homeless. We would hand out, toiletry bags and blankets and things like that and just go and talk to people. And I remember one time we had this guy and again, just God's speaking to my heart. I went up to speak to this guy. I felt urged. And if you ever feel urged, I really want to encourage you. If you feel that urging, step towards it. Just step into what God's doing. Because if that's God moving, you're going to see something awesome happen. And so I went up to talk to this guy. I won't forget it. I can't forget his name because it was weird. His name was Odinga Labumba. And I've just felt like God wanted me to talk to him. And there was no miracle. There was no huge thing that happened. But when I was talking to him, I felt like God was putting the words in my mouth. I felt like God was speaking words to this man that I didn't know why I was saying it. Like I wasn't, it wasn't anything huge, but I just remember coming away from that experience and someone said, oh, what were you talking to that guy about? And I said, I don't remember. I don't really remember what we were talking about because I felt like God was just speaking through me to this man. And it was another way of God just instilling this powerful voice in my head and in my heart. So we went to New York City homeless missions trips. I went to the boardwalk in Ocean City, Maryland, and I tried street preaching, which is different. They had a guy who was a street preacher, and we all were doing like puppet ministry. And so we're behind a curtain, and we're doing these puppet shows. And he would go out afterwards, and he would preach a sermon that was like powerful. And one day we finished our puppet show, and he goes, Adam, this guy, I don't remember his name to this day, but he said, Adam, I don't have anything to say today. Do you have something to say? And I went, okay. So I got up and I preached on the boardwalk in Ocean City, Maryland to the people walking by and had people come around. And God just urged, through circumstances, he urged my heart forward into preaching his word to people I didn't know. another time, and this was a huge, huge experience, I had a chance to go overseas. I had gone to Acquire the Fire when I was a teenager, and my buddy Jesse that I spoke about earlier was there with me, and they were very mission-minded, and they asked people to raise their hand and join the mission. And they would do like short-term mission trips, and I felt that urge. So I said, and I was scared of this one. I said, all right, overseas? Okay. But I felt the urge, so I said, all right, I got to see what God's doing. So I raised my hand, and I said, all right, let's go. So I raised my hand because I didn't want to miss what God was doing, and I feel like that should be on all of our hearts, as we don't want to miss it. We don't want to miss that thing that God's calling us to do. If you hear that, if you feel that urge, walk with him. So I got the paperwork to go on this missions trip. I filled it out, sent it in. My buddy sent it in, and we had to wait to find out if we were accepted. So Jesse was accepted very quickly. He got his acceptance package, and once you got that, you had to start raising money. And so he started doing that. I was doing as much as I could to help him out, but the time was getting later, and I didn't have my acceptance yet. And I would call the Acquire the Fire, and I'd say, you know, what's going on? They're like, well, you just haven't gotten through your paperwork yet. And the time was getting closer and closer to when we needed to have the money to go. And it was a new way of God speaking, because it was a time where I didn't, you know, have that God say, ha ha, here you go, your acceptance and your money, and you're all set to go. It was a new thing. And I was confused. I don't think I lost faith. I don't remember losing any faith, but I remember being confused. Because I was like, all right, God, I felt like you called me to this. Why aren't you putting the things in motion? Why aren't you, making things work for me? Did I miss it? Did I hear it wrong? Like, you know, you get those doubts. You start thinking about things and like, all right, this is something I felt called to do. Why am I not, you know, getting the things I need? And so I feel like this was a new way of God trying to open my eyes, instill in me a faith that can withstand a little bit of disappointment, you know, a little bit of waiting, a little bit of not seeing that instant, you know, answer. It was a pushing through kind of faith and a pushing through kind of voice of God saying, don't worry about it. So eventually I was accepted, which is great, except for I had like 2 weeks to raise like, I think it was like $1,500 or something like that. And I said, oh, okay. All right, let's do it. So I started trying to raise the money, and it really wasn't working. And then my friend Jesse, who had been raising money all along, came to me and he said, hey, I just got permission. I raised more money than I needed. And he said, I've got this much money. And it happened to be the exact amount of what I needed to go. So God did some awesome things. God brought us on these mission trips. He actually went on a different trip than I did. He went to Trinidad, and I went to Mexico. And on that trip, I saw God do amazing things. We did work that, we would do a drama, and people would gather around and watch, and just built in a new measure of faith of stepping out and doing things that you're not comfortable doing, and feeling God's peace through it. And that's another way God, I think, speaks to us, is through that peace that passes all understanding. We're doing something that we're uncomfortable with, and then God giving you that supernatural peace through it. Then came a change, and it's one that I wish that hadn't happened. I look back on it and I say, you know, I wish that I had gone forward with God and really just followed and chased after him in everything that I did. I think we all have a time in our lives when we do that, and I hope not everyone does, but I know I definitely did. I came back from that missions trip, and I don't know what it is. I remember coming back and having like a weird time. Like, I felt like super Christian. Like, I was like, I was God's man. God was lucky to have me. You know, because I was mission trips, you know, I was doing stuff for God, and he was, you know, God was probably like, ha ha ha, you know, whew, glad I got him. And so I felt like that. And I wasn't relying on him anymore. I was relying on more myself. I was relying on, you know, my goodness, which, as we all know, as humans, is really nothing. But I think I was deceived at that time, thinking that I was, you know, something other than what I was, a sinner saved by grace. So I think another way that God speaks to me, or speaks to us, and definitely a way he spoke to me, is by letting us take that little trip away. I felt a little bit like the prodigal son after a while. I didn't feel like God was urging me to do things anymore. I felt like he was silent. And then I kind of was, I stopped preaching. I stopped telling people about my faith. I stopped being that, you know, the guy that people, oh, he's preaching to me. God, Adam, he's that Christian. And I started wanting people to like me. I started wanting, you know, the world to like me. I wanted people to think I was funny. I wanted to get the laugh. I was trusting in relationships and with people rather than with God. I was trying to live, honestly, I was trying to live a life with one foot in each world. I was saying I was a Christian. I had that Christian sounding voice. And then I had that other side where I would try to get the laugh. I didn't get into anything awful. I wasn't into drugs and alcohol, but I definitely was not where God wanted me to be. I, you know, as the world looked at me, they would say, oh, you know, yeah, he's a good guy. I'm sure he's a Christian. But in my heart, I was starting to like say things that I knew I shouldn't say. I was looking for the laugh. I was looking for people to like me. I would tell jokes at people's expense, or if it was crude, I didn't care. And I still remember this one time, someone at McDonald's while I was working there said, wow, Adam, we've corrupted you. And that was a heartbreaking thing to me, but I still didn't hear God. It didn't bring me back. It didn't bring me to a place of far enough that I think that I felt like I needed to turn around. And then, like I said, I started getting involved in relationships that weren't godly. And that brought me to a place of depending on that rather than him. And it got to the point where I didn't hear God anymore. I couldn't hear him. I couldn't hear what he was saying because I wasn't listening anymore. I was trusting in the world and trying to live a double life. And it all pretty much came to a head when I was in a relationship that I shouldn't have been in and got broken up with. And whoever's been broken up with, you know, that's a place, it's a kind of a bottoming out, especially if it's something that you had put a lot of effort into, a lot of, you know, trying to make it work. And I remember that being done and just feeling empty, just feeling like I don't know where to go from here. My parents had moved. They had moved to Massachusetts. I was on my own. I was living in an apartment. That night I got broken up with, I'd punched a hole in the wall. And I was, you know, I was at rock bottom. I really was at a place where I was like, all right, God, what do you want from me? You know, like I just went this little way just to have a little bit of a life of my own. And I think God, through that silence, taught me that's not where he wanted me. He wanted me to have that full reliance on him. So God didn't leave me there for long. You know, there was a while where I had just, like I said, I just turned from him and just was trying to do things my own way. And then I was living in this little apartment in Williamson, New York. And a friend of mine, I don't even remember who at this point, invited me to a Youth for Christ event in Rochester. And I, at that point, was kind of like, I wasn't going to church for a while. I was kind of just lost. And they invited me to this Youth for Christ event, and I went, all right, why not? So I went to this event, and I ended up seeing the guy that had given the altar call when I was 12. His name was Don Stock, and he had started a ministry over the last few years called Scarlet Thread Ministries. And I saw him there, and he was like, hey, you know, how are things going? I had, you know, been a little bit a part of that ministry in my teenage years. And he was like, wow, it's really good to see you. Hey, what do you do on, and I don't remember the night, I want to say it was Wednesday nights. And I said, nothing. I got nobody left, so, you know, I'm kind of searching at this point. And he's like, well, we got this group of young adults that meet at the Scarlet Thread ministry, which happens to be the same building that the VBS was in. And so I joined this young adult group. And that was the beginning of God just bringing me back. It was a group of people my age that were seeking God. They were doing Bible studies. They were doing activities together. Just, it was like I had reached so far out into the world with these friends that I had and with the relationships that I had, that suddenly being around these Christ followers was huge. I needed it. You know, it brought me to a place where I was hearing God again. I was hearing Him speak. And also during this time, I met up with another guy who I went to church with in East Williamson. His name was Don DeCrasto. And in that same building, he was building a youth center. He was, you know, it was going to be like an after-school drop-in youth center. And he saw me with this young adult group and he said, hey, do you want to come by sometime and help me put some things together? You know, put some nails in some walls and, you know, we can just talk while you're here. And it was a time. Man, if I'm crying here, later is going to get rough. It was like I would sit there putting nails and we'd talk. And I was working through these things that I was dealing with, and God was speaking to me again, and it was amazing. And so I found a place with community of believers, with ministry. We opened this youth center, and I started reaching out to the teenagers in the area. These are unchurched teenagers that would just come after school, and we would reach out to them with the gospel. We started up it was called the Mill Street Youth Center. I was helping to run the center. And then we did like a show every month where we would invite all these kids to this event. And it was basically an event with some music and some funny things happening. And at the end of the night, there was a gospel presentation. And so I would help put together that event with videos like the one I'm going to show you now. There you go.
Oh, thanks for bringing the DVDs back. Oh, Watching Grass Grow and Extreme Paint Drying. Great choices. Oh, well, it looks like you forgot to rewind these. That's going to be a $5 charge.
What? $5! I work hard to earn my money.
Would you please pick those up?
Are you sick of taking the time to rewind your DVDs? Sick of paying the fines? Then try the breakthrough technology of Simple Minded Gadget's brand new DVD Rewinder. It rewinds your DVDs in seconds. No more fines, no more waiting long amounts of time while your VHS rewinder eats your DVDs up.
I am not paying $5 for something so stupid.
Ma'am, this is just our standard fee. I'm sorry, everybody has to do it.
That's ridiculous. You know what? I will watch grass grow and paint dry again before I pay that $5.
Remember, next time, use Simple Minded Gadgets DVD Rewinder, available at fine retailers everywhere. Simple Minded Gadgets not liable for any damages to DVD due to using our product. Simple Minded Gadgets cannot be held legally responsible for injuries or death resulting from improper use of this product. DVD Rewinder does not actually rewind DVDs.
And that was 15 years ago, so you can imagine how much better at this stuff I've gotten. So anyway, I know I didn't realize how. I'm going to try to go through this a little quicker. I'm sorry. So anyway, I spent a year there. We did ministry that was amazing. I felt God speaking through me through what we were doing. I was reaching out to kids. And then through some circumstances that happened, I wasn't able to stay there anymore. The house I was living in was owned by the executive director at the time of the ministry. And he was letting us stay there for really cheap. And I couldn't afford to live anywhere else. And then, so when the house was no longer available, I was starting to look. And then at the same time, my parents were doing foster care and adopting kids. I don't know if you guys know my parents and the many children that they have. But I felt like God was calling me through circumstances to come out to New England, not just for the Patriots, and come out here to see what's next. So while I've been here, I've been involved with Harvest since about 2005. I've been involved with the youth ministry. We called it the SOC. Who remembers the SOC? we did, you know, missions trips. We did service trips. We did all kinds of fun stuff. And God kept the youth ministry on my heart. He kept me just feeling like that was what I should be doing. So that brings me to the present, which is actually as of 2011. But so the last few years have been amazing. Like I said, I've been involved with things here at Harvest. I was a deacon. I was, you know, like involved with the youth ministry. I'm getting ahead of myself. In about 2011, I was working full time at an ambulance company doing overnight dispatch. And I happened to come across a face of someone that I had known from the Scarlet Thread ministry. She was one of the youth at the time and wasn't really involved with the ministry, but her parents were on the board. And so she would be around and I recognized her face. So this is, you know, like I said, a few years later, and I happened to see her on Facebook. And I was like, hey, I know her. I should friend request her and just see what she's up to. And not to mention, she had gotten to be really cute and I wanted to get to know her more. So I friend requested her, and a few nights later, she had accepted the request and we just started talking on Facebook. And that first night we talked for about 12 hours, not joking, on Facebook. And I remember coming home that night, that morning, and saying to my mom, I think I just spent the night talking to the woman I'm going to marry. This is where you say, aww. All right, thank you. And so that was us a couple years later. While we've been here, God has led us both to be involved in the Stephen ministry. Mackenzie was singing in the worship band. Like I said, I was a deacon. And we had our kids, Mandy and Maya. Both of them who were premature, but God gave us such a peace through that. He spoke into our hearts through that whole experience. We had a pretty bad scare with Maya early on. And it was another way of God just giving us a new way of talking to us. We thought Mackenzie had had a miscarriage. She had had some of the, what would you call it? The symptoms of a miscarriage. And she had talked to her aunt who had been, a nurse, a labor and delivery nurse. And she said, yeah, it sounds like you did. And so we had been really excited about Maya. We were like over the moon. We were telling everybody about it. And then when we thought we lost her, and then having to tell, excuse me, like I said, it gets worse, but better. It was a tough day. It was a tough couple of days where we thought she was gone and we had already planned on this child. We were already waiting for this baby to be born. And so Mackenzie and I had decided we were going to try to go away for a couple of days and just try to figure out what was going on. But Mackenzie was still having a lot of pain, which we were told was normal for a miscarriage. But one night, a couple of days later, I don't even think it was more than 2 days later, she was having a lot of pain. And so we said, all right, well, we're going to go to the hospital. And through this time of telling people about the miscarriage, God used that hurt to reach other people in a way that we couldn't have reached before. It was a pain that we could talk to people about and still share our faith and say we believe God has the best for us. And so it was a completely new way of God speaking into our lives. It was a new way of sharing that struggle with people who could understand it and still praising God through it. We were praising him through the storm. And it was hard. But we said, this is what God wants from us. This is what we feel God speaking to us. So that night we went to the hospital. And Mackenzie was having a lot of pain. We went into the emergency room. And and God did a miracle. I knew this was going to happen because God doing powerful things just brings brings me to tears. We went to, the doctor came in and he said, all right, well, the heartbeat is loud and clear. And we feel like, you know, this might have been, and we said, wait, what heartbeat? Mackenzie's heartbeat? And they said, no, the baby's heartbeat is loud and clear. And we hear, and the baby's fine. And we said, what baby? We thought the baby was gone. And I believe this is a miracle. The signs that Mackenzie had in her body were that the baby was gone. And whether God used, you know, I just believe it was God. You know, he brought Maya back. So anyway, God was speaking and showing us he would take care of us. He wanted us to be fully aware of his presence for the upcoming year. This was back in November of last year. That was just the other day. So anyway. Whew. So anyway, this past couple years, and I do apologize for keeping everyone late. This is taking a little bit longer than I thought it would. So the last couple years, our youth group had declined. We didn't have a lot of kids coming anymore. I was spending a lot of time working, taking care of my family, my young, you know, growing family. And feeling like, all right, God, like there's not a youth group here. That's where my ministry had been. What's next? Like I was looking, I was saying, God, I feel like I'm in another place of like, I feel like I'm in a good place with you. I feel like my faith is strong. I haven't wandered. I'm here. I'm like in your presence. Where am I supposed to minister? And I felt like in the last couple of years, it was to my family. You know, I was ministering at work as much as I could, and doing what I could to help. You know, where I was doing, you know, little things here and there, but feeling like I wasn't doing what I was made to do. I remember, Mackenzie and I just having some conversations about that and saying like, all right, maybe youth ministry isn't what it's for me. Maybe I need to move on to the next thing. And then she had mentioned, she loves her hometown. In New York, and she's always talked about maybe moving back there someday. And she said, well, maybe if we move back to New York, that maybe you could call Scarlet Thread again and get back involved with them. And I thought, you know, that's a good idea. You know, I should talk to them and we'll see what happens. And then we had another dark day. And I don't know about you guys, but God speaks so powerfully in dark days. I think of it as you're in a dark room and everything's dark and suddenly there's a light that shines. Like if you think about that, you're in that dark place and that light shines and just pours that warmth over that whole experience. You can have a powerful, powerful experience with God in that time. You can't miss it. You know, when God is speaking in that time, you can't miss it. I think about the verse in Psalms 34. It says, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. So we had some concerns about Maya when she was young. She wasn't developing as quick as we thought she should be. Wasn't anything like life-threatening, but we were just wondering what was going on. So at her six-month appointment, Mackenzie had brought her. I was at work. And she called me and I could hear in her voice that something was wrong. And she said, well, you know, that, the weakness that we've been noticing in her, she wasn't crawling. She wasn't doing some of the things that kids that age do. Although we weren't as concerned about the crawling, but like there was just some things that she wasn't quite doing, and we kind of chalked it up to the premature birth. But the doctor said that she believed that Maya had had a stroke in the womb, and that just threw us for a loop. We didn't know what that meant. The doctor said maybe this could be something that will just be an annoyance in her life, or it could be something serious. And we were shocked, to say the least. We didn't know what to do. We didn't know what to say. We knew God was in control. We both said that to each other. We said, God has got this. He's going to take care of her. My wife works with special needs kids, and so she, if anyone, would know how to help raise a kid with special needs. So I remember driving. I left work. We said we needed to be together and pray about this and just be together as a family. So I remember on the way saying, all right, God, I'm listening. You know, can you speak? And I got a text from Don DeCrasto, the guy that I had built the, helped build the youth center. And he just, his text was, how's things going, family man? And I remember thinking, why would he say that? Like, he doesn't know what's going on. Why would he say that? I said, I need to call him. So I called him, and as I was driving on my way to see Mackenzie, and we were just talking about what had happened, and he, you know, was just praying and just, you know, offering his support. And I had said, it's so funny that you text me, because Mackenzie and I had just been talking about you and about getting a hold of you. And I said, you know, there was a thought of moving back to that area, and I wanted to see if I could get involved. And he said, really? So that's funny, because I didn't have an ulterior motive in getting a hold of you, but I was just wondering. He's like, what are you going to do for work when you come back to this area? And I said, I don't know. I said, I was looking into a few different things. You know, if we moved, I was thinking, I've got a buddy who works at the post office. He said that was a good job. And he said, well, would you ever think about coming back to work at Scarlet Thread? And I said, yeah, of course I have. That's like my dream job. And I felt my heartbeat again. That's how I put it. You know, that emptiness of not having the ministry, God spoke powerfully through this time of being open to what he wanted. I was broken because of Maya, and I was seeking, and God shone that light in that area so brightly that this was an amazing thing from God. It wasn't just a chance text. It was something that he was orchestrating. And Maya's doing much better. they feel like she's not going to have any hindrance from what they said. But if we hadn't gotten that call, if we hadn't been, I haven't been driving that day. If Donna texted me, I probably would have said, things are good. How about you? You know, it might not have been the same. And so God moved mightily through the things that we went through. And so we've been working from that day. I came to Mackenzie and I told her about what was going on after we had talked about Maya and what we should do. And I said, hey, guess what? I got this call. And she went, yes, I know that's from God. I feel like that's from God. Why else would that have happened now? Why would he have texted you on this day where if you had been at work? And we just felt like God was speaking to both of us. And so things have really been coming together for this ministry. They want me to come and help run the ministry. He's the executive director, Don is, and he said, you know, it's thriving. He's got 8 youth centers in Wayne County. Their goal is to open 11 in every school district in Wayne County. He wants me to come and run a couple of them and help run the ministry. And it's my dream. Like I feel like it's a God-given dream for God to bring me to this place to minister where I was ministering before in a different way. Like I said, it's God speaking for sure. We've had some struggles. We've had some struggles along the way. There's been Goliaths in the way, and been a few times where we said, all right, are we hearing God? are we listening to God, or are we just trying to push our own agenda? And every time we would question that, we would draw closer and we'd say, all right, God, we would read his word. We'd pray. We'd talk with each other. We'd talk with people who knew us. And every time God would just reassure us that we're following his plan. And so, like I said, as we go forward, I'm believing that God is just going to continue to bless us. So as I come to the end of this message, I talked to you about my past. I talked to you about the present. And I wanted to talk to you about the future and the challenge. I think God is speaking to you all right now. I think that, like Elijah, you know, we're there waiting for God to speak, and there's wind and there's rain and there's earthquakes and storms all around us, and we're waiting for that whisper. And I want to challenge you all to listen for God. God is calling. God is speaking. If you look for it, it's there. If you don't look for it, you may miss it. So I just challenge each and every one of you to be like Elijah. Look for that voice. Try to find that voice through the storms, through the different things in your life, and wait for that whisper and that reassurance of God calling you to something great. Mackenzie and I, we both believe, as Pastor Gina said, that the door of the ark is closing. We believe now is the time to share God's word with everyone. And Matthew 28:19 says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Romans 10:13-15 says, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? And as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. And I think he's calling us all to that. We're all called to share his good news. And I pray that you would all look at your lives, look at your past, look at your present, and see what God wants for your future. See what he's calling you to do. As we draw closer to him, we just know that we can hear his voice. We're his sheep. So I've definitely heard God's call to go to Wayne County. I'll be praying for God to speak to you in a powerful way as well, like he's spoken to me. I pray for everyone's support. I pray that you guys would pray for us as we go. I'm actually going to have a sign-up sheet in the back. I would like to get people's addresses and emails so that I can keep you guys involved with what we're doing. You know, there's going to be a lot of stuff going on. I can't wait to share it with you, and I pray that that would just encourage you. There's also going to be the Scarlet Thread Ministries is going to pay half of my salary, and I'm responsible to raise the other half. So there's opportunities if God is calling anyone to join in the ministry. There's opportunity to join in the ministry in that way. But mostly, like I said, I really just covet your prayers. I covet the fellowship of being sent out. And I thank you guys so much for letting me share with you today. Again, I apologize for staying so late. And again, let's just listen for that voice. All right.
All right. Pastor Steve's going to come up and just give us our announcements. I want to let you know that we're going to be praying for Adam and Mackenzie and their family the next time they can all be together at church. They couldn't be here today because sniffly things. And but we're going to be praying for them. And that song that you guys have prepared next week, you can maybe do it for the offering. Okay, there was a special song prepared, but we want to honor the fact that it is a little bit late. But wasn't that a beautiful testimony from our brother's heart?